Now, we're doing something a little bit different today. Pastor Stephanie has asked me to share a little bit of a reflection about what God has done in my life over this whole past year. Now, whenever someone asks me to reflect on a whole year of my life, I find myself scrambling to grasp what has happened over that long period of time. I think about the seasons of my life and how they don't fit neatly into 52 weeks or 365 days. When I look back over the past year, that is 2023, I find myself scrolling through what I call digital clutter. I found my phone is a reliable source of data to guide me through this process. And if you've never done this, today is December 31st, so I invite you, if you have a smartphone, to go home today and look through every photo that you have taken in the whole year and see the scariest collection of memories that you yourself have curated but had no idea that that's what you were doing. So I took an opportunity to look through my photo gallery, and this practice can offer me a quick value assessment. On first glance, I was shocked to find I had 19 pictures of my license plate. I thought, why on earth am I continually forgetting and taking a picture of my license plate? But the more I looked at these 19 individual photos, I realized it wasn't my license plate I was taking pictures of. It was parking stall numbers and pillars and anything that was generally surrounding the car so that whatever building I was going into, I'd be able to find my car when I came out. How old am I? More scrolling through my photos reveals endless memes and quotes. A lot of memes and quotes from Pastor Stephanie, by the way. Jocelyn loves words. Jocelyn loves words, and there's a hilarious collection of nonsense that I clearly thought was amusing and or important that is stored in my phone. There's one photo on my phone that reads, word of the day, herkle derkle. Yes, this is a real word that I screenshot at some point in 2023. This is a 200-year-old Scottish term that means to lounge in bed long after it's time to get up. So you want me to use it in a sentence? Happiness is herkle-derkling. I challenge you to make this your word of the day. Don't show up to something this week, or when they ask why you didn't come to something, you can say you were busy herkle-derkling. It's a great conversation starter. Another image on my phone reads, how to cheer up. This is a list in an elementary school classroom that was up on a wall for all the kids to see. So in this image on my phone, it says, how to cheer up. Number one, whisper beep boop to yourself. Repeat until you are no longer sad. Beep boop, beep boop, beep boop. It makes me laugh every time. If that doesn't work, the second suggestion to cheer up is to plug your nose and say, sneep snop. Okay, gotta do it with me. Plug your nose, sneep snop, sneep snop, sneep snop. I made you do it. It's awesome. some of the other suggestions on the list were crazy. Say boop de bop in a really deep voice over and over, or say bubbles in an angry voice. That one was really fun. So when I looked through the images on my phone, there were so many birthday celebrations, water fights, baptisms, and pool parties, and so, so, so many flowers. My phone currently stores up to 12,000 photos at this point, and in 2023, the album is full of flowers, trees, rocks, leaves of every color and variation. So in summary, looking through my digital clutter, I can see that I value beauty and laughter, not getting lost, new words, and wise quotes. This was not surprising for me, but what this digital clutter didn't reveal for me is how deeply challenging 2023 was for me. As much as I did capture moments on my phone, there are times when the pictures were not taken or shared. When I look back over the year and I look for where God showed up in real, tangible ways, I see the people that make up this community of faith. As a community life pastor here at Olivet, I spend a lot of time thinking about and praying about this community and its people. I've had the privilege of serving in small pockets within our community and have built relationships with so many of you over this past year. When I reflect on what God has done, I see how He has prepared the way for me to be the community life pastor in this place, building relationships and bringing people together. So what has God done this year? He has rooted me in this community through walking alongside all of you in good times and hard times, through shared experience and prayer. God has rooted me more deeply in this community. My roots in this community are in you, the people, and our shared experiences that have shaped my life in 2023. The prayers of the people, the prayers of those who pray during the week, all of you who check in and care how I am and ask how to support me in what I do. The grace and care I've received in this congregation has given me the nourishment and energy to expand what I do, to reach higher and to grow. And I believe that community flourishing is a communal task. I have learned this alongside all of you, being rooted and established in the love of Christ and in the love we share as followers of Christ together has deepened my roots, and my strength comes from these roots. The weather may change and the soil may shift, but my roots have grown deep in the lives of our people. You are my people, and I am no longer a plant transferred here during a time of transition. This past year has shown me that I have been planted among you. There's no transplant shock, and I have fully settled in. Even now, as I planted in the soil with you, it has taken time to learn the language in these intricate root systems, to understand the irrigation, the grafting in, and see where new growth is happening in our community. It's taken me time to observe things, growing in and out of season, becoming part of the conversations, and listening to all of the shared lived experience of our people. And I can tell you, you all are super fascinating people, and I have enjoyed getting to know you over this past year. Over this year in 2023, God has been at work in some of the darkest and bleakest moments in my life, personally. He's been present for me through what I would call cascading sicknesses, COVID, and my very first experience ever of food poisoning, days where my energy was gone, days supporting some very serious health challenges for many of my immediate family members, home maintenance issues with our heater and our water tank that frustrated me to no end, and then my wallet and my laptop were stolen. This rap sheet on 2023 is not something you'll find in my phone, but it's something that I carry with me. And it reveals a lot of desperate days and tough moments that were not captured on camera. There's no highlight reel that shows my role as a caregiver for my mom or the stress of managing daily life at home with her, with someone whose body is betraying her. Caregiving for me can often feel like becoming a bystander to someone else's slow ebb of life. It is so debilitating for the person experiencing the loss of dignity and agency all at once. And chronic pain is relentless. It's sometimes hard for me to see the small wins, but I look for them and I keep them in my mind so that in tough moments I can tell myself the truth, the whole truth, that even when it's dark, there are still glimmers of light. An unexpected patch worn smooth in a deep valley. When my wallet and my laptop were stolen earlier this year, I was high on the mountaintop of ministry with a council retreat, a worship service, a community meal, and an amazing speaking opportunity at a large youth event. All of these things happened in the same day. And this theft immediately plunged me from the heights of ministry experience to the depths. On the drive home that night, I made myself say out loud, "I am grateful for," and list as many things as I could. I said my list out loud in the car in defiance because anger and hurt were palpable. And I know that nothing eats bitterness faster than gratitude. When I could no longer think of things to say out loud on my 20-minute drive, I just said, "I am grateful. I am grateful. I am grateful." Over and over and over through my tears. My sister, not knowing what had happened that day, sent me a YouTube link to a song that she felt I needed to hear. And when I got home, I saw her message, and I listened to a worship song that she had sent me, and the song is called Gratitude. I want to read the lyrics of this song for you now. We have sung this song here at Olivet, but I want to speak these words. And these are the words of the song. All my words fall short. I got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, because all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. I've got one response, I've got just one move. With my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. And this song has a bridge in the middle that says, so come on, my soul, oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, because you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. I'm going to say that again. So come on, my soul, oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, because you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. As Psalm 23 tells us, that when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for he is with us. But when we are in the valley, will we praise? Will we release that lion inside of our lungs and say, get up and praise the Lord? When Pastor Stephanie asked me what I had learned this year, if I could put it in a nutshell, I would say what I've learned this year and where I see God at work in teaching me is what it means to praise from the pit. I find comfort in Paul's prayer to the Ephesians, and I want to read a short section for us from Ephesians chapter 3. I'll be reading from the Message version of the Bible. And Paul writes, I ask God to strengthen you by his Spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength, that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. And I ask him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth, test its length, plumb the depths, rise to the heights, and live full lives, full in the fullness of God. I echo Paul's prayer as we enter 2024. No matter what your digital clutter may reveal about you, and no matter what mountains or valleys you may have gone through or are still going through, I hope you know and experience the love of God by the power of the Holy Spirit at work within you, and that we all learn to get up and praise the Lord together. On the mountain peaks and in the valleys, I hope and pray we learn to live full lives, full in the fullness of God, plumbing the depths and rising to the heights of God's love for us. Amen.
Now it's my turn to kind of reflect on what God has done in the last year. And I promise it's not going to be a whole sermon at this point. I know some of you have just looked at your watches. Over the fall, we have studied Simple Kingdom of Jesus, and we have taken time to hear from each other, specifically asking, where have we seen God at work, or what has God been teaching us right now? And earlier this morning, we have heard from Mary, and Pastor Jocelyn has shared as well. So now it seemed fitting for me to also reflect, where have I seen God at work, and what is God teaching me? Now, I get the pulpit all the time, so you always get to hear from me what I hear from God, but it's a little bit of a different reflection at this point. And the new year is the perfect time to reflect on this. Personally, I like to set goals for a new year. I don't think of them as resolutions because then I'm sure to abandon them by the end of January. Instead, I think of them as goals and something to, you know, continue to work on throughout the entire year. I also prayerfully set a word for the year. So this is something that guides my intentions and direction for the year. This is a practice I have kept with the Lord for a number of years now, and it's been really helpful for me. So my word for 2023 was the word onward. Onward is defined as in a continuing forward direction. Now, the reason I came to the word onward is because I had just started as lead pastor here at Olivet at the beginning of November 2022. So more change did not seem appropriate at the beginning of January 2023. And really, I just felt I needed to be in the continuing direction I was already going on. The verse that was my key verse for the year was, "May the Lord direct your heart into God's love and Christ's perseverance," which is 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 5. I'm going to read that again. "May the Lord direct your heart into God's love and Christ's perseverance." That was my verse for the year. And it's amazing to look back at 2023 and reflect on how that is exactly what God has done. Pointed me toward his love and his perseverance. And not only have I seen God point me personally toward his love and perseverance, but I have seen Olivet as a community pointed toward God's love and perseverance as well. In my very first sermon here at Olivet, I preached on loving God. I preached on loving God, loving one another, and loving our neighbors. As Jesus shared in Matthew 22, these words, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." And then also in John, Jesus says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." So much of what Jesus teaches hangs on these ideas, loving God, loving one another, and loving our neighbors. And so onward we went, entering 2023 and moving through the year with a continuation of that theme as we sought to grow in our love for God, one another, and for other people. So together we began the year in Philippians. I'm not sure if you can remember all the way back in January, in a series that we called One in Joy, where we learned a lot about joy, which is a great theme, but also a theme that came up a lot in Philippians was unity and how unity is so important for the body of Christ, which is essentially a way to grow in our love for one another. Throughout Lent, we studied the I Am statements of Jesus and how basically all of them unpacked the theme of love further. And then we looked at some of our foundational practices as a church. Why do we do the things that we do? What is important? What helps us love God well? And what do we need to hold with an open hand? And eventually we came to the study of Jonah in late spring, where we were challenged to love our neighbors. But not just our neighbors, all people. And we understand that God loves everybody. And who else does he love? God loves everybody you hate. Difficult words to stomach at times. Throughout the summer, we focused on being formed by the Holy Spirit to be more loving, as we learned that all of the fruit of the Spirit are best known in relationships with one another, in community, as we are formed to be peaceful for one another, patient with people, gentle in our relationships with one another, and so on and so forth, as all of this are as an extension of God's love. And that brought us into the fall where we have been uncovering this simple kingdom and the practices and teachings of Jesus Christ, who showed us a kingdom that is truly all not that complicated. It's really not that radical, but it's one where the valleys are raised and the mountains are lowered and we are called to be like Christ in the world. And sometimes that might be as simple as sharing a meal with another person. And finally, through Advent, we saw the way that God works in unexpected ways, broadening the scope of how he works, reminding us yet again that God so loved the whole world that he gave the entire world his one and only Son. And the one that we have been waiting for is the one true Messiah. And through it all, I believe that we have seen God form us more and more to be a bit more kind and a bit more loving people. One of the places I have most clearly seen God at work and pointing us more toward love has been through our times of a church gathered. So I think of Wednesdays as well, as Mary talked about, where a few of us gather in Wednesday evening to go a bit deeper with the sermon, where we learn together, we learn from one another, and we spend some time in prayer often, and often we just enjoy each other's company. Every week, I look forward to Wednesday, no matter who comes, and it's always a different group of people. And every week, I'll tell Scott, you know, I'm feeling kind of tired, but I'm always going to enjoy tonight, always. And I come back, and I'm always like, it was great, every time. It has been one of the best parts of my week in this community. I've seen how God is at work and growing in us our love for him and our love for one another. And personally, I've experienced love for many of you in that gathered time on Wednesday evening. I think of times where we share meals together as a community, like community lunches, the last one we had at the beginning of November. And there was just a lot of joy and laughter, and you all stayed for so long that the people who were cleaning up were like, do we start cleaning? They're still here. And it was just a lot of fun. And a community that has fun together and enjoys one another just genuinely seems to love one another. It's another way I've seen how God is at work in growing in us our love for him and our love for people. As I reflect on what God has done and I look forward to 2024, my honest hope is just for more. I would love the word onward to be our word for 2024. I personally have felt challenged in three ways in that onward direction, and I would like to share them with you all this morning, and I promise it will be quick. On Christmas Eve, I had the privilege of speaking on Mary, the mother of the Messiah, and other than being sick, my only other complaint is that it was such a short message because we keep it tight on Christmas Eve. And Mary needed longer. She needed a longer message. But one of the things from Mary's story that stuck out to me, as I know it did for a few of you because you've already mentioned it, was the line that she says back to the angel, "I am the Lord's servant. I am the Lord's servant." And throughout my research of Mary, I discovered how that one phrase, with that one phrase, the gospel writer places Mary alongside patriarchs and prophets of Israel, people like Moses and Joshua, David, and others, who were also referred to as a servant of the Lord in much the same way. These significant figures who at some point committed to do some kind of faithful course of action. And Mary does the same thing in the Christmas story as well. She humbly commits to the commission, to the plan the Lord sets before her, and pledges her life to faithful service. So when I look to the next year and what God is calling us to as a community, to this time, in this place, in this season, as we continue to grow in our love for God, for one another, and for other people, I would suggest that we all commit to the exact same words that Mary did and offer our service to the Lord. I know as a leadership team, we are seeking God's leading for his direction for what this next season will look like for our church. And there are lots of thoughts and ideas for how we can engage the surrounding community, how we can be intentionally loving as Olivet to the world around us as well. As we enter 2024, let us say together, we are servants of the Lord. Let us commit to that humble posture of service together. The second piece of this challenge I would like to suggest for us this morning comes from the Hebrews passage that George read for us. As we continue onward to grow in our love for God, one another, and other people, let's fix our eyes on Jesus. Now, this isn't radical. This isn't new. Our purpose as Christ followers is to be like Christ, to know Christ, to follow Christ, to love Christ so that others may know and love Christ as well. And none of these things are possible unless our gaze is firmly on Jesus Christ. I'm amazed year after year as I follow Jesus and study Jesus' life that God will make fresh and new aspects of Jesus' life that I have heard many, many times. And all of a sudden, something will just take root in a different way Maybe I am different or my season of life is different. And I'm sure for many of you who are Christ followers, you've had the same phenomenon. Yet also, as the Hebrew passage attests, as we keep our eyes on Christ, that helps us to endure. It helps us to endure the difficulties that life brings. Helps us to avoid sin and the selfish traps that we fall into. Keeping our eyes on Christ keeps us encouraged, gives us strength to keep going. This journey of being Christ follower, it's not a sprint. It's lifelong. And we need the ongoing sustenance and encouragement that being focused on Christ can and will provide. So I would suggest to you that for 2024, we should keep our eyes firmly fixed on Jesus Christ. And together with saying we are servants of the Lord, I believe we'll be open to the ongoing course that God has set for us to continue to grow in love. And finally, I want to remind us yet again that God loves us, that God loves you. In my very first message at Olivet, I encouraged us all to close our eyes and to imagine that God was thinking about us. Imagine that God was thinking about you. Imagine what is God thinking about as he considers you. And I suggested that the thing that he is thinking above all else is that he loves you, that God loves you. And I have heard from so many of you months later, like over a year later, that that was just difficult to grasp, that was hard to swallow. And so, in an effort to continue onward in that same direction, we are going to continue to rest in the knowledge that God loves you, that as the psalmist says, that he crowns you with love and compassion. Or as it says in Romans, that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. That he just loves you. That he delights in you. So we're going to keep talking about it. You're going to get sick of me hearing, you're going to get sick of hearing about it from me, but that's the way it is. Our three-part challenge for 2024, together we will say, we are servants of the Lord while keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus and resting in God's love. So in closing, I just also want to personally say that one of the ways I've seen God at work has been through the joy that I have experienced here at Olivet, especially lately. It wasn't an easy year. I resonate a lot with what Jocelyn said. When we moved here, it was difficult. There's been a lot of challenges. I'm so thankful for your prayers. I'm so thankful for your kind words. I'm thankful for your encouraging Christmas cards. I'm thankful to be very much part of this community that desires to go deeper, that wants to be authentic. I'm thankful for my Wednesday night crew. It's very fun. And I'm thankful for the Olivet Council, who are so thoughtful and committed to seeking the Holy Spirit, that we want to go deeper together. So while 2023 was probably one of the more challenging years of my life, I continue to be just so grateful for you all. So grateful for this opportunity to serve alongside you, with you. Thank you for letting me be your pastor. It's a joy. I knew I was going to cry. I just was hoping I'd keep it all together. But this is what you get when you hired me. So there you go. No, it is a deep joy to be here. So thank you very much. I also would, I just wanted to say it's been a blessing. So I look forward to more things in 2024. Will you stand with me? As we are going to close our time together by singing a song of hope, as we sing these words of keeping our eyes on Jesus, who is our hope. Let's sing together.